They've been shut out 5 of those last 7 games. So, you know, since really week 2, because they won week 1 versus Independence 29-22. Week 2, they lost to Franklin Heights 21-14, so it was a one-score game. Their next closest game since week 2 was a 28-6 loss in week 6 to Gahanna Lincoln. So point of all that is to say, they may not be the best team on paper, but they have not been really competitive in these games. The competition they've been playing has been extremely good, but you would like to see them be a little closer in those games if you think they're going to give Fairmont a run for their money tonight. They are down Brock Baker, but the way Fairmont has played this year, they should be able to move the ball really well, and kind of very similar to last week, and where if you don't have the special team mix-ups, if you don't get stopped on the 1 yard line twice, last week could have been kind of bad. I would expect tonight to kind of get out of hand at some point.
And of course, they'll rely heavily on Logan Doty, the touchdown machine, 23 touchdowns on the season, 962 yards, second leading rusher in the GWAC to Bruno Cardi of Springboro. Slifer, of course, had a great game last week. Coach will talk about that at halftime. He ends up for regular season number 3 in GWAC tackles with 86. And Wilkins, that's the name you want to call tonight on defense. 9 sacks, tied for first with Wayne's Javion Lewis. And I was at Wayne Centerville last week, giving you guys reports. Wayne didn't lose that game because of Javion Lewis. Heck of a player. They lost that game because they made too many mistakes. Okay, so we have a little bit of time here in our last minute or so. Let's go over the Ohio Region D1 matchups for tonight. 15 Beaver Creek at number 2 Centerville. They'll name the score, obviously. It is a running clock situation. Nothing changes there, by the way, from the regular season. 14 Dublin Kaufman at Westland, number 3. 13 Hilliard Bradley at Springfield, number 4. Interestingly enough on that one, both those teams have 6-4 records. And we know how Springfield can be spotty. So that one could be one to watch. Number 12 Maysville at Hilliard Davidson, number 5. Number 11 Northmont at Lebanon, number 6. Number 10, Dublin Jerome at number 7, Springboro. And, of course, the one we're watching tonight, number 9, Middletown at number 8, Wayne. And both those teams come in at 5-5. Even though Wayne, up until last week, was playing their best football of the season, then last week it kind of fell apart. So, why don't we go ahead and break? And we'll come back. We will turn the broadcast over to Aaron and Dennis. I'll pop in with some stats and scores as we go along. We'll tell you that the Firebirds did win the toss. They'll defer, so the Comets will get the ball first. But about 3.5 minutes away, that's our pregame, and we will be back.
You have been listening to the Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement pregame report. Now let's get back to our announcers and tonight's game.
And we are back at Roush Stadium. 3 minutes, 20 seconds remaining before the Comets and the Firebirds get started here. The Comets brought a few people. More than, it's not a bad amount that they brought from Columbus. And as you can see, the Fairmont faithful are here in mass.
Dennis. As they should be, Aaron, as they should be. And, you know, I mean, we've kind of brought you up to speed on Central Crossing, but we haven't talked enough about this Fairmont team and what they have done this season, Aaron, because really we should be thrilled because it's school history. This Firebird team, the GWAC was formed 24 years ago, and this is the first time that you can actually say Firebirds are conference champions. They do share the title with Centerville. We won't really talk about that much more anymore. We'll just keep it at conference champions. But they are the number one seed in Division I Region 2. We're going to go to our national anthem, and we'll be right back.
Our national anthem. Thank you.
back here at Rouse Stadium. This game is about to get started between the Comets and Firebirds. All right, Dennis, what were your thoughts before this game to get started?
Well, so, all right, let's talk about Fairmont a little bit more. So we talked a little bit about Central Crossing and their numbers over their last seven games, but Fairmont's has been the opposite, quite impressive. They are on a six-game winning streak. During that six-game winning streak, Aaron, they are outscoring their opponents 180-62. In a word, impressive, because those are not light games. Firebirds do want to rectify and kind of erase last year's playoff loss. They lost to Dublin-Kaufman 14-7. In fact, Aaron, really, I kind of dove into this. Fairmont has not had much success in the postseason since the GWAC was formed. What do we got? A minute here or so before it's kickoff. So, real quick, Firebirds are 2-7 in the playoffs since the formation of the GWAC. First playoff game was back in 2008. They lost 28-27 to Northmont on a missed PAT as time expired. Not the way you want to do it. 9 years later was their next playoff game. That was 2017 against Hilliard-Bradley. We were there for that one. Things didn't go well, and we'll keep talking about that, but we are ready, Aaron, so I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right, folks, and we're about to get this kickoff. As you heard Barney say earlier, Fairmont will be kicking off to the Comets here at the beginning of the game. And so, of course, those duties belong to Max Gehring, who was set to kick off here in a moment. Deep to return for the Comets is Anthony Watley and Nate Thompson. And so here we go, folks. The kick is up, and it's going to travel into the end zone. So that's going to be a touchback for the Firebirds. Comets going to start at their own 20-yard line. So let's see what this Comet offense has for us here, Dennis.
Yeah, and there, as Barney kind of said, we don't have the GWAC site giving us all the stats here for Central Crossing, so we don't have a ton of information on these players, so we're going to give you as much information as we can when they have the ball. It's going to be a little bit more focused on the Fairmont side of the ball.
And so a quarterback, Seven Foster, his name is Seven, he's number nine, he throws out an out route to his receiver who catches it for about 4 yards, and that's going to bring up second and six at around the 24-yard line for the Comets.
Nice, easy little out to get him going. Good play on first down, just a high percentage throw. Get him into the game, get him some confidence.
And so they're going to be on the far hash mark with that gain of four. Second and six for the Comets. Foster in the gun, three wide receivers to the near side of the field, man in motion from the far side, fakes handoff, Foster rolls to his right on the rush, and he is going to lose 3 yards, maybe four. It looks like he went out of bounds at around the 21-yard line or the 20. They're going to say the 21-yard line. That's going to be a loss of three, and it's going to bring up, oh, they're going to say four, everyone. That's going to bring up second and 10 for the Comets.
Yeah,
third and 10, excuse me.
That's something you see real quick that, you know, being a sophomore, he's only played a few games, not a lot of experience there. He could have just kind of stepped forward out of bounds, kept a couple yards, or chucked it out of bounds even. But went backwards.
And so back to the line very quickly. Four wide receivers. Foster throws out interception and throws it right to Skylar Slifer. And Slifer, easiest thing going. I could have caught that, folks. And he returns it to the 25-yard line of the Comets. They're going to say the 26 before he's tackled. Fairmont, great field position for the first drive of the evening.
Slifer's second interception on the season. Fairmont actually has seven interceptions on the season. Three from Toby Deglow. Colby Wallace has one. Now that's the second one for Slifer. And Jack Probosco has one.
So J.J. Hill is starting again at quarterback this week. With one wide receiver split to the right for the Firebirds. Man in motion to the near side. It's a handoff. to the tailback, gets all the way to 15-yard line, and of course, on the rush, that was Doty, who they're going to say got down to around the 15-yard line. That's a first down.
Yeah, and a great sign for Fairmont to pick up just on a straight run right up the tackles. Doty, 23 touchdowns, 212 attempts for 962 yards. 212 attempts, Aaron, but 4.5 yards per carry on 212 attempts. That's impressive, especially when the long on the season is only 48 yards.
Okay, it's a tight set here. No wide receivers for the Firebirds. Stringer's right wing, left wing appears to be Thornton. Backfield, Doty. Hill takes snap. It's Thornton in motion to the near side. Hand off to Doty. Drags a couple tacklers down to around the 13-yard line. They're going to say the 12. And so that's going to be a gain of 3. It's going to bring up 2nd and 7 for the Firebirds.
Good tackle there by Anthony Watley. Looks to be the left linebacker. Did a great job of getting through the line and getting to Doty quickly.
One wide receiver split out to the right. That is Egan Kieber. Doty in the backfield, both wings split to the right, which is Stringer, and that is Patton. Hand off to Doty, who runs off the right tackle. Not much going there. Maybe got to the 9 with 4 progression. That's what they're going to say. And that's going to be a gain of 3. And that should bring up 3rd and 4, so, for the Firebirds.
Quickly coming up after this play, you may see a decision Coach Miller will have to face if they don't pick up the first down. We talked at length already about the special team woes last week. You want to make sure that Gehring's right, but if they pick up a couple yards, I would expect them to go on 4th.
So 15 seconds on the play clock. You look to the sideline for the call. Double wing to the right once again, Stringer, and that is Patton. Hand off to Doty, who runs off that right guard again. Right tackle gets to about the 4 before he's taken down. And that should be a first down as they only need to get to the 5-yard line. 1st and goal for the Firebirds from the 4-yard line.
Yep, just picturesque Fairmont football. They're not doing anything that's going to surprise you. Just loaded up the right side, followed behind the blockers. Doty put his head down and carried a defender for a couple yards. And 1st and goal.
One wide out split to the left. That is Dominic Jett. Thornton is in the game at the right wing. Left wing, that is Stringer. Backfield, Doty. Hill under center. Motion to the left by Thornton. We have flags thrown.
Flag in the play.
False start.
And it's against Fairmont. They're going to back it up to the 9-yard line. 1st and goal from the 9.
False start. So
remember last week, they had several false starts, and you got to attribute some of that to J.J. Hill, and not anything against him. It's just a different cadence than what they're used to with Brock Baker. Just watching J.J., when he comes up to the line, you can see it looks like he's putting a lot of emphasis on his cadence. You can even see his back kind of moving forward and backwards. So it you can't hear it from here, but I can see where some of these players might be thrown off.
Bruno split out to the right, motion near side by Thornton, keeper by Hill, who gets back to the 4-yard line or so before he's tackled. So they got those 5 yards back, 2nd and goal from the 4.
Tackled by number 52.
And they may put it at the 3. Well, right at the 4-yard line.
And to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about, it almost looks like a pump fake. And if you watch college football or professional football, when it's 4th down and they're trying to fake a team out to try to get them to jump off sides, you'll see the quarterback really barking the cadence. And that's what J.J. Hill does almost every play, it appears.
Keeper back in the game, split out to the left. Thornton also in the game in the right wing, goes in motion to the far side. Hill hands off to Doty, who goes off the left guard, and he's in the end zone. 4th touchdown. Score. Fairmont 6. It's the Comets 0.
Touchdown number 24 from Logan Doty. Impressive in week 11. But yes, nothing too surprising on that first drive. Just a whole lot of handoff to Doty, and Fairmont moved the ball right down after the interception, able to capitalize on the great field position.
Brett Hilty ready to get the hold here together for Gehring. The hold is good. The kick is also good. And so the score is Fairmont 7, Central Crossing 0.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you are in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghostlight Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Myers Kettering for your support this year as Garen kicks the ball once again into the end zone. That's the second touchback of the evening. Central Crossing has their second attempt to get their offense going here this evening. First drive was a turnover, which led to a Fairmont touchdown. Where we're at here, Fairmont 7, Central Crossing 0.
And I think the biggest thing on that first possession for each team was the offense for Central Crossing really looked to struggle against the Fairmont defense. And then that pass, like you said, really floated up there. So the pressure from the defensive line from Fairmont going to be key.
Foster takes the snap, hands it off to the tailback. He makes a few moves there as he gets to about the 22-yard line, they're going to say. It's going to be a gain of two. We'll get that gentleman's name here in a moment. It's on the rush.
Logan Wilkins, number 42, Colby Wallace.
So the ball at the 22-yard line, second and eight for Central Crossing. There by that tailback is number zero,
Anthony Watley.
Yes. Foss takes snap, fakes it to Watley, throws out to right on the out, and he is going to be pushed out of bounds on reception. I believe that was number two I saw there, and that's Isaiah Dunlop. So I believe they're going to say this is going to be a pickup of a couple yards. They're going to say he got to 3 yards. He got to the 26-yard line.
Brings up.
So you've got a third and manageable, third and five, and really important to try to pick up a first down here, give your defense a second to breathe on that sideline before you turn it right back over.
So four wide, two to each side of the field for Foster. Foster takes snap, looks to his left, looks to his right, throws it the comeback route to his receiver. He only picked up a yard or so, 2 yards, they're going to say. He's got to about the 29-yard line. 28, need to get to the 30, and so that's going to bring a fourth and two for the Comets. Wish he would have ran that a bit deeper there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the part with young teams just kind of learning, you know, and that's, if you remember some of the growing pains that we've gone through watching this Fairmont team over the last 10 years that I've been doing it, you know, that's part of what you have to do. Coach Miller will talk about that in his interview with Norm at halftime, so make sure you listen to that because he talks about building and how this kind of all led to now.
So we've got Jalen Williams here to punt, and he had to roll to the side. He under considerable pressure gets it off. Bounced at Fairmont 40. Ooh.
Dangerous.
And a dangerous reception there by, I believe that Slifer. Was Slifer. I might have let that go, but he was able to handle it. Got tackled at the 38-yard line, and that's where Fairmont is going to get going here on the second drive of the evening.
Yeah, I would have told him to stay away, and that's typically the rule. Once that ball bounces, he went and took that in amongst about three different Comet defenders, and he was able to do it, which is fine. He probably saved a few yards, but not really worth that risk there.
And so Fairmont back in the field here, 5:49 remaining here in the first quarter. They're up 7 over Central Crossing. J.J. Hill under center. No wide receivers in this set. The backfield, that appears to be Doty, Oh, Central Crossing. Oh,
wow.
The pitch. And that was looking not interesting initially, but Hill makes a great decision to get a pitch out to Stringer, who's able to get around that left end and is going to pick up a good 12 yards and get the first down for Fairmont.
That play right there, Aaron, is a little scary, and the reason why is it worked tonight, but next week it would not. That would have been blown up in a bad way and could have been a turnover. So you can create some bad habits sometimes, and that's what you want to stay away from. You want to see them sharp tonight. That was a little fortunate.
Tony Bruno split to the right. Stringer right wing, left wing. I believe that is Thornton backfield. Is Doty. No, it was
pitch to Doty.
Yes, pitch to Doty, who comes around the right side, and he's going to get all the way to around the 40-yard line. They're going to say a 39. So Doty lined up at the left wing, came around for the pitch out, was able to pick up another first down for Fairmont.
First down and 10, Fairmont.
Hopefully you're not playing a drinking game every time you hear Doty tonight, because you'll make it through about the end of the first quarter. He's going to be very active tonight. They're going to protect J.J. Hill at every, you know, turn, and the way you do that is just turn around and give it to your workhorse.
Well, we'll go ahead and see if someone can get another beverage. Doty's out of the game.
Give him a breath.
As Stringer is the right wing in the backfield. That is, well, no, Thornton is the right wing backfield. It's a keeper by the quarterback, Hill, as he gets to the 25, they'll say the 24, before he's taken down another first down. So Fairmont's getting it going here, Dennis.
J.J. the Beanstalk, 6'3", 170 pounds, if he's soaking wet. We talked about him a little bit last week, but if you weren't listening, very similar build to Brock Baker, just about 50 pounds lighter. And you can tell it when he runs, kind of runs straight up. And so it worries me, but so far it's been effective.
Patton in the backfield, Thornton right wing, left wing Stringer. Hill under center. We have double tied in to the left-hand side of the line, jumbo package. Hill, hard count, Stringer comes to the right, hands off to Patton, who gets to about the 19-yard line. And that's going to be a pickup of about six. So that's at the 19-yard line. Need to get to the 14 for the first down, so it's going to be five. Second and five for Fairmont.
Gain of 5 yards, second down and five, Fairmont from the Comets.
One wide receiver split off to the left, Stringer left wing, right wing. That is Doty. And then we've got Patton in the backfield. So let's look, Dennis, for that something going here to Doty, perhaps to the left. He'll under center. Doty rolls to the left. It's a pitch out to Doty, who has the end. He's at the 10-yard line as he cuts up, drags a defender down to the, I'm going to say the 7-yard line, and that's a first down for the Firebirds.
We talk about it a lot for this Fairmont team, but it's so important to get stops on first down when you're playing against them, and right now Fairmont is eating on first down, averaging probably, I would guess, every bit of 6 to 7 yards a carry so far early on.
And let me add, they have 7 first downs, and they have run 11 plays.
First and goal from the 7-yard line for the Firebirds. It's Patton still in the backfield. That's Doty left wing, right wing Stringer. One wide receiver split to the right. Hill under center, motion by Doty to the near side. It's a keeper by Hill. Or no, he handed it off to Patton. And Patton got to the 4.
I think they might have gave him all the way down to the 1. It was a big jumbled mess in there, but he just kept pushing and kept pushing.
So look at that, all the way to the 1. Second and goal from the 1-yard line. We'll see if Doty's in. Looks like they're going to go power eye here, which has had moments of being effective and then not so much.
Doty's not the one in the back.
Nope, that is Patton.
Patton looking for a touchdown number 4 on the season.
So Hill under center. Hands off to Patton, who's in easy for the touchdown. And so that is 6 more points for the Firebirds. 13-0 Fairmont.
Well, Aaron, I mean, this is what you expect. A 1 versus a 16 and a team that is 1-9 and lost 9 straight. But it's still nice to see. We said we wanted to see Fairmont come out sharp. They have done their job so far for this Comet team. It does not look like they are going to be up for much of a fight tonight. And the reason I say that is Fairmont is not throwing anything wild at them. It is just straight at them. And we may see a running clock in that second half the way this is going.
17 more points. Hold by Hilty. Kick is up by Gehring, and it is good. Central Crossing 0, Fairmont 14.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you're in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghostlight Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Moe's Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Sinorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And also thank you to Kettering Myers for your sponsorship this season. Scores, Fairmont 14, Central Crossing 0. As we just saw Gehring kick that ball into the end zone. Third touchback of the evening. 1:52 remaining here in the first quarter. Fairmont 14, Central Crossing 0.
Updates here on scores. I can tell you that Springfield is up 7-0 on Hilliard-Bradley. It is 7-6. Lebanon leads Northmont. And Wayne is winning 8-0 against Middletown. And they got a tricky two-point conversion.
So Central Crossing on the field for the third time this quarter, the third time this evening. So they're looking to get this offense going as they go empty backfield. Five wide receivers, four to the far side of the field. Foster, quarterback, takes a snap, looks to his right immediately, throws a tipped pass, caught by his receiver at the 20-yard line. No gain. As that was... If anyone sees that number, you let me know. I think it was, yes, that was Anthony Watley on the reception. And they're going to give him a yard. It's going to bring a 2nd and 9 for Central Crossing.
Looked like that was Connor Haston getting in there and getting a hand on the ball and tipping it. We've said his name quite a bit, especially over the second half of the season. He's had a big impact on this defense.
Four wide, two to each side of the field. Four, Foster, tailback, Watley staying to his left. Looks to pass to his right, throws it low, but I think it's caught, yes, for a gain of 3. Reception. Should use the binoculars, everyone, so I can see these people. That was number 3 on the reception, and now it's Shamar Humphreys on the reception.
Yeah, it seems to be his favorite target, and I kind of feel for Seven Foster. He doesn't have any time, so it's basically hike and throw it. And he's got a kind of a strange throwing motion. He pitches it from the side, and I want to say he kind of pushes it rather than flipping it. They definitely want to work on some mechanics in the offseason if he's going to be their quarterback.
Andy backfield again, 5 wide receivers for the near side. Foster throws once again to the right, and he, that receiver, was he able to catch that?
No, he dropped it. Hit the
okay.
Ground.
And so that's going to bring a 4th and 6 as Foster's thrown to the right every time.
Mm-hmm.
Clock stopped with 33.6 seconds, and Fairmont's going to get the ball back this quarter.
And this is exactly why, if you want to kind of just play out reasons why, if you went back 9 years ago, this is why Dave Miller ran the system that he ran. He tried to keep his team competitive and keep them in games, because when you run out, you don't burn any clock, you don't gain any yardage, and you put your defense just in another horrible spot.
Jalen Williams set the punt, and it's a low knuckler. Bounces at the 48-yard line. Oh, recovered by Slifer. Once again, in a bit precarious way, as he's able to get back to midfield. And that's going to stop the clock with 23.2 seconds remaining here in the first quarter. Fairmont 14, Central Crossing 0.
And as you would expect, I mean, starting position is going to be heavily, you know, favoring Fairmont here. This drive starts on the 50. Their first drive after the interception started, I think, on around the 30, 25-yard line or so. And then, you know, they've only had one possession that started on their side of the field. They were still able to march right down and score with very little effort.
see if the Comets could come up with anything to slow down this Fairmont offense.
So Bruno split out to the right. Thornton left wing, right wing, Stringer backfield appears to be Doty. Hill under center. Motion near side by Thornton. Hands off to Doty, who runs straight up the middle. And he's going to get to around the 47-yard line. Game three brings him second and seven for Fairmont. Look like number 17 amongst others for Central Crossing in on tackle. That is Weymouth Sanders. Wish we had his weight. That's a nice size young man.
That'll take us to the end of the first period, Aaron.
Yes, and that's the end of the quarter. Fairmont 14, Central Crossing 0.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you are in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnicast Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghostlight Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we're back here at Rouse Stadium. Fairmont, fantastic first quarter. 14 points on the board. Central Crossing, none here. They've got the ball at Central Crossing's 47-yard line, second and seven. They've got two wide receivers in this set. One each side of the field. Doty in the backfield. Right wing appears to be, that's Thornton. Left wing, Stringer. Hill gets under center. Puts Stringer in motion. It's a pitch out to Thornton. Comes around the left side. He's able to stay in bounds until he gets to the 42-yard line. And so that was a pickup of, what is that, about four, I would say. And it's going to bring up third and two for the Firebirds.
A couple of other GWOC teams are also up 14-0. Centerville on Beaver Creek and to Springfield. Springfield, I'm sure, after what happened at Springfield against Fairmont, looking for the rematch against the Firebirds. That would happen 2 weeks from tonight.
Doty in the backfield, right wing is Patton. Back, and the left wing is Stringer. One wide receiver to each side of the field for Hill. Gets under center, motion near side, and hands it off to Doty, who's able to carry a couple defenders off the left tackle as he gets all the way to the 30-yard line, and that's another Firebird first down.
Aaron, I think we need to retroactively go back and give Beaver Creek more credit for last week. The way this first half is progressing and the Comets not really showing much trouble, you know, against this Fairmont team. Remember, that was a one-score game last week in the fourth quarter before Fairmont put it away. So we're going to retroactively congratulate Beaver Creek.
Beaver Creek's line was fairly stingy, extremely stingy up the middle last week. Hill gets under center, two wide receivers, one each side of the field, motion near side, and it's a handoff to Doty, who runs off the left guard, able to get down to the 23-yard line, and that's going to be a gain of, that's going to be six, so that's going to bring up second and four, they're going to say seven, second and three for Fairmont.
23-yard line.
So Fairmont back this week, as you heard Dennis say, looking much better. So, as he said, retroactively giving Beaver Creek, giving them props.
Well, and Fairmont did move the ball last week. They had 271 yards of total offense, but they had a couple big plays in there, too.
Thornton in the game at left wing. It's a handoff to Doty. Once again, big hole as he's able to get down to the 21-yard line. Taken down by, amongst others, number 11, Jackson Reckner, and that's another first down for the Firebirds.
You know, one thing to consider, as this continues to go like this, How long do you play your starters? That's a debate in the second half, especially if we get to the running clock.
Yeah, Barney, and I think you're right, because if this keeps progressing this way, I don't think much in the second half. What we've seen typically from the Fairmont teams this year, because we've seen it a couple times, they'll run the first possession in the second half to get the running clock, and then from there you start to see some players move in and out.
One wide receiver split to the right, Hill in the center, motion to the near side. Keeper by Hill, but he's drugged down for a loss. Is that a fumble as well?
Flag.
Put on the ground, and a couple flags on the play as Stringer was able to recover the fumble from Hill. And we'll see what this flag is about.
I think that's just, you know, we always get tricked up by that all the refs throw out that little ball out,
yes,
you know, whenever
no
they fumble. I didn't
that
see the actual flag out.
Mm-hmm.
Dominguez Yahir on that tackle.
Yes.
Or was it 58 or 59?
It's one of those two.
I think it was 59. Dominguez,
okay.
Or Yahir Dominguez.
All right. For the loss, brings up second and 10 for the Firebirds. One wide receiver split to the right. That is Tony Bruno. And we have man in motion to the right and a keeper by Hill off the option. And he gets down to the 11 before he's taken down. That's going to be a gain of 6.
Part of me wants to see them have a field goal attempt here for Max Gehring's confidence. He had a rough time last week, missed an extra point. He's missed 5 extra points this year, which is a little bit unusual, though he's 8 of 13 on field goals with a long of 51.
Yeah, and both of those numbers are kind of appalling when you think of Max Gehring, because, I mean, last year was automatic, and really most of his misses have been in the second half of this season. So you took the words right out of my mouth, Barney, because I don't think it will break my heart if they come up short and have to kick this field goal.
Patton goes in motion to the right. It's a handoff and a fumble on the ground, picked up by Central Crossing, and they've got pay dirt here as they keep rolling.
He's
50,
gone.
40. It's number 60 on roll. He's to the 20. It's the 10. He's celebrating early. And he's in for the touchdown off the fumble. It was Cordell Baker who was able to take it a good 88 yards or so for the touchdown off the fumble, which we've seen enough this season. It's Central Crossing 6. Fairmont 14.
This time there is a flag, but it was late. So like you said, the fumble is on the 10-yard line of Fairmont. Return goes 90 yards. There's a flag sitting on about the 33, 34-yard line. Flag is against Central Crossing. I think it was on the celebration after. You think you're going to get an unsportsmanlike, but we'll see.
And again, we see this a lot. The young man's at the 10-yard line, and he's holding the ball up with one hand. That's not a prudent move.
Stringer was trying to catch him. He just couldn't quite catch him. If he would have, he would have had a decent shot of knocking it out.
Cordell Baker with the scoop and score for Central Crossing. And there you have it. They're back in the game immediately.
Now, they've not put the touchdown on the board.
They're lining up for the extra point, so.
Okay, they're a little late.
And so, number 82 is their kicker. Audra Thompson. And he's set up for that extra point. Hold is good. The kick is also good. The scores. Fairmont 14, Central Crossing 7.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you're in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Dominica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghost Light Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotover Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And folks, we're back here at Rouse Stadium, Central Crossing, on the 90-yard scoop and score off a Doty fumble. able to get back in this game. 7 points for the Comets. And that penalty, folks, was against Fairmont. As the previous penalty was at Central Crossing, is going to be kicking from Fairmont's 45-yard line here to begin, or here to kick off here with 8:16 remaining here in the second quarter.
I'd squib this one. I mean, why would you slam it into the end zone? You know what? What do they got to lose? You can even try onside kick here. It's not like the NFL where you have to ask permission.
You know, and if you do and you don't get it, they get the ball in like the 35. There, you're right.
Onside. And, taken in by the Hands team.
That was a good kick.
It was. Fairmont, great kick and reception there. That was 84. We're going to get 84. And that gentleman is Jacob Lightcap. Great job, sir.
Backup tight end. He got a little run this year when Cheatham got hurt. But, wow, that was a great kick and a good thought, Barney, because you were right. And it was wide open. They did not have their Hands team up front. If somebody hit him instead of going for the ball, I think they picked that up.
And so Fairmont back with the ball here. 8:14 remaining, up 7. One wide receiver split to the left. Hill under center, motion to the near side. It's a handoff. Oh, to Doty. No, it's not. That handoff was to Patton, who streaked through the middle of the field there, able to get down to the 45-yard line. That might be one of his best rushes of the year.
You know, nobody talks about him. He comes into the game with 433 yards. He's going to be over a 500 here very shortly.
Well, not even just that. He averages 6.4 yards carry, has a long of 55 on the season, and, yeah, he's probably going to get a lot of run because Coach Miller is probably going to give a point to Doty, and this is a perfect opportunity to do it. Playoff game, he wants to be out there. He was going to get a ton of run, and right now I'd sit him down right next to me.
And one wide receiver split to the left. That's Patton in the backfield. Thornton in motion to the near side. Hand off once again to Patton, who gets to the 45-yard line. And that's going to be a gain of 9 and bring him 2nd and 1 for the Firebirds.
You know, let's talk about that psychologically. Some coaches say put him right back in, make him forget about the fumble. If you sit him down, is he going to just stew about it all game?
Well, and you're right, Barney, to a degree, because, you know, but it's festered. It just seems to continually be a problem. If it was one time, I do think you throw him back in, but it just seems to be a continuous problem. But there he is. He's at the right back.
Yeah, so Doty is back in the game. Right wing, left wing, Stringer in the backfield. Still Patton. One wide receiver split to the left, and that is Dominic Jett. Doty goes in motion near side. It's a handoff to Patton, who runs off that left guard, gets to the 39-yard line, and that's another first down for the Firebirds.
First down, Fairmont.
The clock is moving here, 6:45 remaining here in the second quarter. Fairmont trying to get some more points on the board.
Fast-moving first half, as would be expected, but a little tighter now after that 90-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown.
So Doty, right wing, left wing, Stringer, backfield, Patton. One wide receiver split to the left. Hill, 7 seconds on the play clock. Motion by Doty near side. Hand off to Patton. Runs off the left tackle. Able to get to the 40. So that's a pickup of 4. And that's going to bring up 2nd and 6 for the Firebirds.
Gain of 5 yards. Second down at 5, Fairmont.
So Thornton back in the game. Lightcap in the game as well as Kieber. And we see Kieber split out to the right. Thornton's left wing, right wing, Stringer. Patton is the tailback.
This feels like a pitch to Thornton to the right.
Feels like it. Hill. Thornton goes in motion to the right. He's been gone. And hands off to Stringer. He's to the 20. Gets down to the 14-yard line on the counter. Oh, that was pretty.
They heard us. Coach Miller knew. Everybody knew. This was going to Thornton to the right. Except for Coach Miller knew. Ran a counter, which we haven't seen in a few weeks. Great play call. Great run by Stringer. But, yes, everyone, I think, could feel the same thing with it being on that left hash and Thornton sitting there on that left. They like to get him in motion, get him out into space. They absolutely drew that whole defense over. Great play call there.
So 1st and 10 from the 13 for the Firebirds. Bunch set here, double tied in to the right. Backfield Patton. Motion to the near side by Stringer. Hand off to Patton, who runs off that left tackle again. And did they give him to the 9, 8? Yep. And so that's going to be a gain of 5. And should bring up 2nd and 5 for the Firebirds. We're going to say 4, folks. 2nd and 6.
Got a lot of extracurricular activity as Central Crossing players were rolling with Fairmont all the way back, like 20 yards behind the line of possession. You know, that was a very strange
situation. Super strange. I wasn't sure what was going on there. It looks like we've got a timeout, official timeout there after that melee. Of sorts, anyway.
I don't know if I've ever seen it because they weren't actually like fighting.
No, they weren't.
Jumping around.
Strange. 2nd and 6 from the 8. 4:10 remaining here in the second quarter. Fairmont 14, Central Crossing 7. Double wing to the left. It's a handoff to Patton, who runs right behind those wings, and he's going to burrow into the end zone as he runs over 2-3 people to get there. The score is Fairmont 20, Central Crossing 7.
Yeah, just strength, bringing it right down their throats, and pretty strong reaction after that touchdown. So I do think there's a lot of talk going on down there after that fumble recovery that got Central Crossing back in the game. But a good response by Fairmont to march right down, put 6 back on the board, and put this back to a 2-score game.
Gehring attempting to get his 3rd extra point of the evening. Hilty for the hold. Hold is good, kicks up, and it also is good. Fairmont 21, Central Crossing 7.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebird football to you this year. When you're in one of these businesses, please be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. The underwriters this year are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnikas Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghostlight Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Kettering Myers for your support this season. Gehring set to kick off, and the ball is going to travel into the end zone again. So that should be the 4th touchback for Gehring this evening. And Central Crossing is going to start once again at their own 20-yard line.
And stay with us at halftime. Norm's interview with Dave Miller. He'll recap the season, reflect on the 8-2 record. Not talk too much about Central Crossing. Maybe that's a good thing. And then Dennis and I will come back. It's going to take me a while, but I will recap the first half. And we'll also have updates from what else is going on in Division I Region 2 Playoff Week 1.
So Central Crossing, starting at their 20-yard line, they're going to have 4 wide receivers in this set, 2 to each side of the field here. 4 Foster, tailback staying to his left, hands it off. He rolls to his left, gets around the left end, and he's going to pick up 6 yards. A great rush there by number 0, Anthony Watley, as they're going to put the ball down at the 26-yard line.
You do get a first down on that fumble return for touchdown Central Crossing, right? That's a first down. Here's why I ask. If so, they have 1 first down, and Fairmont has 14.
That would not be a first down for them.
Oh, okay. It's 14-0.
Yeah, they didn't run an offensive play.
Now, this might be their best opportunity to pick up a first down.
2nd and 4 for wide receivers. Trips to the near side for Foster. Watley standing to his left. Foster takes snap, hands off to Watley once again, runs straight to middle, and he's going to get to the 30. That could be the first down for Central Crossing this evening, and it is.
Middletown scores a touchdown. Now, they went for one, which I think is a good thing to do early in the game. You don't want to chase points. So right now the score is Wayne 8, Middletown 7. And, of course, the winner of that game, safe to say, will be here next Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Peyton Cazell comes in the game for the Firebirds. Central Crossing first, 10 from the 30. Four wide receivers once again, three to the near side of the field for Foster. Motion near side by that receiver. It's a handoff on the reverse as he's able to get all the way down to the 35-yard line. Hard hit there by Caleb Moore on the rush. That was number 88, Nate Thompson.
Close to a horse collar there, I thought. What did you think?
Well, before that, there was a pretty bad hold, but they did not call that. But you're right. And so you could have had offsetting penalties there.
So second and five from the 35-yard line. 2:13 remaining here in the half. 21-7 Fairmont. Four wide receivers, two to each side of the field for Foster. Stand in the gun, takes a snap, hands off to the tailback once again.
Uh-oh.
On him
it's
immediately. He's running to the 20, comes back to the near side of the field, and is going to be taken down by the first person that was back there, which is Logan Wilkins. And that is going to be a loss of four, as we saw Watley running for his life, and he ends up losing 4 yards.
And that's a tough one because you'd like to just see him take some contact and go down, keep it in a third and somewhat manageable. He turned around, tried to make a play, which you understand, but ended up taking a massive loss. Now it's third and 13.
All right, so loss of three, and apparently Fairmont takes a timeout here, slowing down this game.
Well, a minute 36 left. They want to see if they can get the ball back and even potentially get another field goal or something before the end of the half. We've been talking about it. Special teams has been an issue. So if you can get the ball back, this is a real-life, basically, scrimmage at this point, and you want to start thinking about next week. If you're in a situation you get the ball with a minute and a half, drive down the field and get a field goal, what a better opportunity against live competition to do that right here. I think it's a smart timeout.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, if it ends up being a field goal, certainly Garen could use the work there in that particular space. And we will see here as the ball currently is marked at the 27-yard line.
And of course,
they're going to put 140 on the clock as they have currently 136. And of course, Fairmont wants to give up as little yardage as possible here before Central Crossing the punt. They'll probably call another timeout.
They do still have two, so they can call one, keep one in their pocket.
So four wide receivers, three to the large side of the field, man in motion to the far side of the field, fakes the handoff, hands out tailback Watley, runs straight to middle to about the 33-yard line. That's going to be a pickup of good six, but not enough for first down. They need to get to the 40, and it's going to force Central Crossing to punt, and a timeout was called, I believe, by Fairmont.
Timeout number two, like I just said, so they will keep one in their pocket. You know, we'll see what Slifer can do back there, taking a couple risks on a couple punts so far. But if he can get one clean and get a decent return, Fairmont still could have a pretty good field position here. But with a little under a minute and a half when they get the ball back, will be fun to see. Do they let J.J. throw it a little bit? Do they space it out with Cameron Thornton? We'll see.
So it is fourth and seven, everyone. Ball's at the 33-yard line.
Here's something to keep in mind. The two punts that have happened so far, Fairmont has been extremely close to blocking it. Do they sell out and go after it? And that might be exactly what they're going to do with Coach Miller taking the timeouts. Not so much even be thinking about the field goal, knowing how close you were on those. You block the punt, and you got a very good chance of scoring a touchdown here before half instead of just settling for a field goal.
Because both punts have been very low.
Low.
He's got no hang time on his punts.
And they've gotten a lot of pressure. Keep your eye on Wilkins. He's been there twice. And just kind of, and they don't want to hit the punter, so they do kind of come up a little bit short and try to take the right angle. But yes, keep a close eye on this, see if they send more pressure.
So Slifer sitting his own 28-yard line. It appears as if Fairmont's only bringing four. And that is it. Even though Wilkins is all over, it's forcing the punter to punt. Oh, and he's going to get a little punt off. Taken by Slifer at the 45, turns up to 50. 45, he's to the 30, and he's going to take it all the way, folks, into the end zone. Off the pooch kick, off the pressure by Wilkins. Slifer able to get a running start and takes it in for the first punt return we've seen this season. The score is Fairmont 27, Central Crossing 7.
Well, so nothing's going to make Coach Miller happier than that. He was really upset about the special teams last week. They've been much better so far here tonight. Haven't been asked to do a ton, but, I mean, we just called that one for you. We kind of thought that might be what they were doing. And Wilkins, they don't need to send much more than that because so far he is burning them on the outside and was able to make that play happen. Slifer able to take it to the house, but no question, Logan Wilkins created that.
And it was admittedly also a bad snap. Yes. Hunter shouldn't have even tried to get the ball there.
So extra point attempt here by Gearing. That kick is up, and it is plenty good. The score is Fairmont 28, Central Crossing 7.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you are in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghostlight Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Kettering Myers for his support this season. Gary sends this kick into the end zone. Fifth touchback of the evening. 1:18 remaining here in the second quarter.
Now, here's the key. I'm sorry, I apologize for interrupting. What do you do if you're Central Crossing here? I mean, it doesn't look like they can throw the ball downfield. Do you just run the ball out?
That's an interesting question, Barney, because it depends on what you're trying to do right now. Because if you're trying to keep it as close as possible, I run it three times and go to halftime. As it is, I think it's your last game of the season. If you're trying to build for next year, I think you push everything you can and see what you can do.
Central Crossing on the field. Four wide. Two to each side of the field. Four. Foster takes a snap. Hands it off to the tailback, Watley. And nothing going. He may have lost a yard. No, they're going to say he got back to the line of scrimmage. There's multiple folks. There's Slifer amongst them. In on the tackle. Second and 10 for the Comets.
I think we see what they want to do here. Run one more play and then go to the locker room.
Yeah, you called it, Barney. And they spread them out to make you kind of think they might do something, but then just run it right up the middle. And, yeah, they're taking every second down. So you're right, Barney. One more play and then they'll call it a half.
So number 9, which is the quarterback, Foster, comes in with the play. 7 seconds on the play clock, 36 seconds on the actual clock. Four wide, three to the far side of the field for Foster. High snap, takes the hands off to Watley. Rushes to his left, has a little room. Gets to the 28-yard line before he's taken down. 24 seconds remaining on the clock. Very close to the first down. And they're going to say that is third in about a good two.
I might run a play to try to get a first down. Did they get one at all, Barney?
No.
They have one.
They did get one.
They have one
that last drive.
They got one. But they're, I believe they're going to let this run out as we've got 7 seconds, and they will do so. And, folks, we're going to go to halftime with the score Fairmont 28, Comets 7.
The teams are in the locker room, and the bands are on the field. So it's time for the Butler Heating and Air Conditioning Halftime Report. Stay tuned and hear what the coaches have to say.
I'm Norm Schrein with Information Radio 1660, and I'm with Fairmont Firebirds head coach Dave Miller for week 11. Now we're in the playoffs. First of all, you had an 8-2 season, number one seed in the playoff region, and co-champions of the GWAC. What are your impressions of the regular season, and would you consider this to be your best Fairmont team?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what we've accomplished, definitely. I think we're, you know, about as well-rounded as we've ever been. But I, you know, we talked about the other day, it's a nine-year me, kind of in the making, those teams. We talk a lot about the foundation, the bricks that have been laid by, you know, teams that have come before these guys and what they've done, to kind of push the envelope or raise the bar, for the next groups. You know, so it's pretty cool to see just where our program is right now. It says a lot about our kids and what they, you know, number one, learned from the previous groups and been able to kind of take the mantle and run with it and take us to new heights. So it's pretty cool.
First of all, what led to the decision not to play Brock Baker at quarterback in that game?
Well, he got injured against Springfield in the last few plays. And, you know, so precautionary until we really know what's going on with him. But, you know, but he, you know, part of what we do is, you know, guys like J.J. Hill being able to come in and you know, take the place of a three-year starter. You know, but that's not easy to do. But I thought he performed really well. That was the biggest thing. I mean, if Brock got hurt, and, you know, if he was healthy, he'd have played. But we just had to hold him out. So, you know, hopefully things are good. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. So
a follow-up question to that, is he going to be back this Friday?
Not sure.
Okay, we'll wait and see. Was anyone else held out of that game?
No, we pretty much played with everybody else. In fact, we got a few kids back. Chase Ford, you know, was had a broken leg earlier in the season, was able to come back, and I think he played about half the game, so that was good. Provided some depth, and we built, you know, some pretty good depth of really through the year, which is good. But so Brock was the only one that we held out, you know, that night.
He looked like he wanted to go back in anyway.
Oh, he did. It's hard to restrain him, so always is.
What are your impressions of J.J. Hill? First of all, handling the offense and rushing for 92 yards.
Yeah, he was 3-for-3 passing, you know, on top of that. One of the smartest kids I've ever coached. You know, he's an IB student, you know, at the high school, and just very cerebral. He sat and watched, you know, Brock Baker operate here for the last several years. And I can hear him back there, you know, in my ear, you know, during the games and in practice. And he soaks everything in. Definitely a student of the game. We're in good hands with him. You know, he's a junior. He's played a lot of football. Now, maybe not varsity football, but you know, that was his first start. Hadn't had a lot of experience, but you couldn't really tell the difference. You know, I think the way we're built favors that situation, you know, where we can, I think, easier than some of these teams that maybe feature the quarterback a little bit more. You know, it allows a kid like J.J. to come in and perform and do well. So,
The second touchdown was Thornton from Hill for 30 yards. What made that play successful?
Well, we thought they were kind of loading the box a little bit, not really watching, and that came from actually Coach Royce called it. You know, it's just the weak side there, and we thought Cameron could get behind him, and he did. And J.J. underthrew him a little bit. Cam made a great catch on the ball and got in the end zone, and it was a pivotal moment because, you know, we were struggling a little bit at that point. You know, we special teams wise, we really, that was kind of one of our worst performances. But you know, we got to get better, obviously. But left points on the field. You know, we had punt all night, so I mean, we were still doing what we were doing. But that was big. That got us, you know, a go ahead touchdown, I guess you'd say there. And we added the other one. That's kind of insurmountable with what we both do. You know, so that was a big play.
Defensively, you held Beaver Creek to 112 yards. What are your overall impressions, starting with junior linebacker Skylar Sifler, Slifer, with 13 tackles, of which 7 of which were solos?
Yeah, he's a player. And I think, you know, we didn't play our best game defensively. They knew that. They were disappointed. They really only had one drive, and we helped them with some penalties, you know, kind of back-to-back getting them out in third and long, where they're not very, you know, neither are we. You know, third and long for us, because we both kind of do the same thing, is difficult to manage. So we let them get to a third one, and that's a lot more manageable. And, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot on that drive. They also did a good job, you know, getting in the end zone. But And outside of that, I thought we played pretty solid, you know, against something you don't see every week, you know. So, but yeah, Skyler has become kind of inserted himself as a leader there on the defensive unit. And, you know, we have some guys that are with him that you know, play pretty well. So, but we got to get better. That's the consensus, I think, from coaches and players alike. You know, after play, they were not satisfied with that performance at all.
So overall, this was a 6-point game into the fourth quarter. Many thought this would be an easy win. Why was it so close other than Beaver Creek's improvement?
Well, they've improved. You know, you got a coach over there who spent a year with us. You know, knows a lot of the intricate details of what we do, and he's a good coach. He has good staff with him. And the other thing is, you know, we talked about it. It's like our style of play, you're going to take possessions away. I think we had 6 possessions, you know, between us. So it's hard to, you know, everybody expects blowouts, whatever. We're not built that way. They made us earn what we got on offense. And like I said, I think when you look at the overall yardage and just what we did per play, we were pretty much on schedule all night. And we didn't punt. You know, we missed some field goals and didn't get a 4th-and-1 down there on the goal line. You know, so that easily could have been 34-7, you know, something like that. But we left points out on the field for sure. But that's stuff we can build on going forward here into the postseason. So, you know, we have to get better. I think that was the consensus Friday night. You know, our kids were not, we get one this year, the GWAC title, and we celebrated that. But they were really in no mood to celebrate, you know, their performance, our performance, you know. So going forward, we just have to get better.
For the first round of the playoffs on Friday, it's a home game against a 1-9 Central Crossing from the Columbus area. How challenging is it to get tape to scout a team from out of the area?
Not as challenging as it used to be. I mean, we have Huddle, so we traded 4 films, and I'm sure they have more, and you know, things like that. Those things start circulating this time of year. It's not as hard as you think. Back in the old days, it was. I mean, you had to send scouts, and you know, you trade VHS tapes and things like that. I still remember those days. I remember the reel-to-reel films. That's how old I am. But when I was a kid, you know, my dad was coaching, and we used to watch on 16mm. You know, so in high school, we did. But so anyway, it's not real hard to get the film. The thing that's kind of hard is you're not familiar with each other, which, you know, that can sometimes work in your favor, sometimes not. The record is deceiving. We told our guys all week, I mean, they play a really good schedule. You know, so they're playing against top-notch competition. Columbus is, you know, the D1 teams, D2 teams up there are really solid. So we have not done well against them. You know, in our playoff appearances, you know, we got Hilliard-Bradley the first year and kind of got our doors blown off in the second half. Last year, losing to Kauffman up there was a tough game, 14-7. So, you know, I don't think we're going to look past anybody, for sure. I don't think our guys are really, I think they're more looking at themselves, hopefully, and the fact that we didn't perform well Friday. We have a lot of room for improvement, and we just need to kind of concentrate on ourselves and our process. So,
final question. This team has only scored 13 points in their last 5 games. What are your impressions of them? I mean, you've gave some, so do you have some others?
Athletic. I mean, it's again, you know, who they're playing against, who they're matched up with. When you start going down the list, I mean, these are all up in their region, you know, playoff teams, you know. So, yeah, they play good defense, and their quarterback got hurt. I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago. They have a sophomore that's in there that's, you know, doing a fairly good job, you know. I think he's still trying to figure it out. They're very athletic, very talented. They have a running back that's as good as anybody we've seen, you know. So we have to play every play. We have to do what we do and just kind of, again, worry about us and us getting better. And, you know, hopefully the outcome will take care of itself Friday.
All right, Coach. Well, for us, it's our last broadcast of the year. But we figured that you're going to hopefully win here and move on through the playoffs. So we'll be listening to see how the Fairmont Firebirds do for 2024.
Sounds great.
Thanks. We'll be back again in 2025.
Sounds good. We'll be here.
Okay, Coach. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's Halftime with the Coaches. Now, let's head back down to the field for the exciting conclusion of tonight's game.
Okay, I don't know how exciting it's going to be, folks. Barney Centner, Dennis Shaw back with you. We are going to talk University of Dayton women's basketball because we have 10 minutes to fill. Hopefully they will also not extend the clock, even though Fairmont's band is going to come on. I will say this. Central Crossing did a very unique band halftime show with a harp, and it was beautiful. Another football team? Okay, different story. But what we're interested in, obviously, and I probably should have gone and reported from the Wayne game tonight like I did last week, Middletown has now made it 20-11 over Wayne, and that's significant because the winner of that tussle will be here next week at 7 o'clock. Dennis is going to see if he can get some updates. They made it 13-11, and then very quickly after that, they made it 20-11. So I have a feeling
you just surprised me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw your mouth open. I could have put a goldfish in it. So if you have information about what made it 20-11, go ahead and look for that, and I'm going to give some other scores here. And some of these scores are not pretty. Here's the worst one. In the second quarter, Bellbrook is beating Meadowdale 44-0 in a game that should probably have a running clock. Now, by rule, they cannot have the running clock if you're winning by 30 until the start of the second half. All right, Lebanon over Northmont, 21-14 in the second quarter. Harrison leads Troy 22-7 in the second quarter. Here's a mismatch. Springboro 38, Dublin Jerome nothing in the second quarter. Centerville beating Beaver Creek 35-0 in the second quarter. Alters beating Eaton 7-0 at the half. Baden is shutting out Trotwood in the second quarter 14-0. And for Norm, CJ is beating Bell Fountain 24-21 in the second quarter. So those are the scores. All right, I'll go ahead and recap this first half. And it started out very well for the Firebirds. Slifer had an interception. Doty a 3-yard TD run, making it 7-0 at the 7:20 mark. They go 6th place, 26 yards, and they took 3 minutes and 51 seconds off the clock. Patton had a 1-yard TD run to make it 14-0 at the 1:52 mark of the first quarter. It took 3 minutes and 57 seconds. The Firebirds went 7 plays on 62 yards. And then the one highlight for Central Crossing was a Cordell Baker 88-yard fumble return of a Doty handoff. And it was at the 8:16 mark of the first half. Fairmont then moves, and in that situation, Fairmont had moved more than 40 yards before the fumble. Firebirds fire right back, though. They make it 21-7. Patton had an 8-yard TD run at the 3:59 mark. They take 7 plays, 4 minutes and 15 seconds. And that drive was highlighted by a Stringer 25-yard TD run. And then they make a 28-7 slide for a 55-yard punt return touchdown at the 1:18 mark. And Central Crossing said, no mas. They ran out the clock. So our score is 28-7. The Firebirds are on their way of going 2-9-2 and ending the misery for the Comets. They will finish probably in less than an hour at 1-10. So there is the information about how the first half ends. So, unless you want to say anything more about this football game, we're going to turn to my sport.
Let's talk basketball.
Thank gosh. So, we have our 22nd season of university, not for you, but for me. We have our 22nd season of University of Dayton women's basketball. It's actually starting election night. There are not a lot of games on election day. Most teams will get underway on Monday, but because the University of Dayton men's team will be playing home Monday, the women's team is going to be playing on election night against Southeast Missouri State at 7 o'clock. We'll be on the air about 6:45, and it will be Tamika Williams-Jetter's third year at the helm. And it's a lot of teams, frankly, like Southeast Missouri, has a brand new team. They have a brand new coach. They have a lot of transfers, and Southeast Missouri is not unique to that. You cannot recognize a lot of the players on a lot of these teams. As for the Flyers, they actually have a good mix. They're bringing in freshmen. They're bringing in transfers. They're bringing in a point guard whom I'm looking forward to, a transfer from Columbia, and I did a halftime interview with her. You'll hear later in the year, and she already sounds like a coach. They also have a lot of returners, which you need. They have Ivy Wolf. They have Niall Lear. They have Shannon Wheeler, amongst others. I'm not going to go into all of them. But I think they've got a good mix. And here's one other thing that they have. I didn't really want to bring it up this way to our interview with the coach at Archers, but they have a much better non-conference schedule. They are facing a lot of teams on a rebuild. They are playing 8 of their 11 non-conference games at home, and I think that will make them better for the start of the season. All right, I've rambled enough. Dennis will be with me for most of the games, and your impressions, especially after hearing the coach at Archers?
Well, I will tell you, I'm much more optimistic after our interview with Coach. You know, I like you said, you have so many new pieces. Anytime you have that, there's opportunity. I didn't know really a ton about some of those new pieces until our interview. So once she educated me a little bit on some of these new pieces, I really like it. And the main reason why is because some of these players that are coming in, they do have some experience and some experience in some big games. I do think that the mixture, like you just mentioned, will be good for them. It seems like Coach is much more optimistic, and it feels like this team has a different kind of energy to it. At their media day, Ivy Wolf, in particular, was talking about their practices and the intensity of their practices, even talked about them kind of getting into each other, having some little fights and things. I think that's a great thing. You want those to be a little chippy. You want that competition going on. So in their scrimmages so far, they've gone well. So I think playing at home as much as they will help them. And I'm excited to see it, Barney. There's so many new pieces, and some of the returning pieces, I think there's a lot of talent there, and they're going to be pushed in a way they haven't been before. They're going to have to earn that playing time instead of just, it's yours.
Ariana Smith, who actually had a double-double last year, she averaged 10 points and 10 rebounds. She's another one of the returnees. And to me, I think the key returnee, because if you wanted to give one nasty word off of last year, it was turnovers. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometime in the first half, they had like 15, 16 turnovers. And after a while, I couldn't really get on the air and voice my disgust. So Dennis knows my body language. I would sometimes just put my head down and cry into my own brain. But I mentioned the Columbia transfer. That's Nicole Stevens, and she is probably going to be getting the start. And what that will do with Ivy Wolf is that will put her off ball. So she will not only do better shooting because she had some issues last year, but she's not a true point guard, and she will be off ball, and I think that will be good for all the teams. And as for Nia Lear, this is a young lady who's got all the talent in the world. She played the best game of her career, actually, at Providence 2 years ago in Tamika Williams-Jeter's first game ever. Oh, by the way, Providence is coming to the UT Arena this year. They are a tough team. They are picked third in the Big East. They have their whole team back from last year. But I want to see Nia Lear make better decisions out there. She can be a big help.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, you've said it right on. Her athleticism just jumps off the charts, and when you're watching her play, you can see the talent is there. I will tell you, the player that I am probably mostly, there's two. I said it last year, and then she did not have a good year, and it was because she got hurt. But I think Shannon Wheeler will be key on this team. Shannon Wheeler is a fundamentally sound player. She's got good size to her, can shoot, but the game, in my opinion, has seemed like it's been too fast for her in a way. She just really never adjusted. I think that this could be the year that that could happen. But really, the player that I am looking forward to the most, Eve Fiala.
Yeah, I was going to mention her, and Eve is going to be backed up by a freshman whom they're calling Baby Jokic. Mm-hmm. That's Molly O'Riordan. Eve comes in at 6'5". She really wasn't expected to play last year, but you had the foot injury to Riley, and I forgot her last name. She's transferred over to Kent State. Yes, she's transferred over to Kent State. And that actually gave Eve a chance to play, and we were able to see her do well on offense. Now in defense, she's got a way to grow, and she also has to improve her free throw shooting. But yes, that will be very interesting in the middle with the combination of Fiala and O'Riordan. All right, we're about a minute 24 to go, so we'll shut off the basketball talk as Aaron comes back, unless he wants to start commenting about women's basketball. He goes, no, I see it. No, keep me away from that. But again, Dennis and I will be on the air about 6:45, election night Tuesday, Southeast Missouri State. And then we've got a second game. That's why we're not going to be broadcasting the football game next week against Wayne/Middletown, because we've got a basketball game next Friday night at UD Arena as the Flyers will host Delaware State. So with that, we'll turn it back over to Aaron for the second half. It's all yours.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Yes. Yes, Aaron is back, and it is halftime here at Roush Stadium. 44 seconds. I suspect we're going to put a couple minutes back on the clock.
We love that, don't we?
Here, as we're at halftime, 28-7. And so you don't have to stop that basketball talk. I suspect you're going to have a few more minutes here.
We have so much to talk about. Actually, what we might do on Tuesday is send Aaron out, and he can report on the election remotely like you did.
Well, the polls will be closing, so I don't know what he's going to be telling anybody at 7:30.
But we'll send them to Washington.
Send them to Washington. I was just saying, if you want scores, I mean, the election will be going on all night. We'll be off the air by 9 o'clock. So either I would say this, come out to the arena, watch this very interesting University of Dayton women's basketball team, then go watch the election coverage. It's not like we're going to be there till midnight.
You don't want to be watching that election coverage anyways. Come out. Hang out with us.
That's right.
So that'll be coming up again. Tuesday, Friday, we have a game on the 17th against Tennessee State. That's a Sunday afternoon. And then the one home game I'm most interested in, by the way, they just put 3 minutes on the clock. The one home game I am interested in is Providence, and that's Thursday, November the 21st. And when you are picked third in the Big East, you know you're going up against a toughie. Now, in there, they also have on November 14th, from 2 years ago, they have the return engagement at Duke. We saw Duke 2 years ago, and a very young team, and they're going to be a handful at Duke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their whole schedule is interesting this year. Yeah, they do have some pretty...
They have Vanderbilt at home, correct, also from the SEC. Mm-hmm. That is the other one before they have get into the conference in January.
I was just about to ask that. How long does it take to get into conference play?
Well, a couple of teams will start with a game, a road game in early December. Not a road game, but a rogue game. And the Flyers will actually start like January 2nd or 3rd. Every team has one either Wednesday or Saturday off because you have an uneven number of teams. The Flyers actually get their one time off, their second to last date of the season, which is really weird. So, but because you've got 15 teams in the conference, that'll go down to 14 after Massachusetts leaves the conference after this season.
And I'm sure you all already stated this, but what is Dayton ranked in the conference?
13th. Now, that is, and Tamika Williams-Jenner, I thought, was very forthcoming about how they do this. Most conferences, when they do their preseason predictions, they actually evaluate talent. Who left? Who's coming in? Who's got potential? The A-10 basically looked at last year and picked it that way. And that's why the Flyers are picked 13th. She wasn't upset about that, but Richmond's coach Aaron Roussel was upset about that. This team may win the conference. Dayton had nobody on the first, second, third teams, nobody on the defensive teams either. But yes, they were picked 13th out of 16 teams, out of 15 teams. And, you know, I usually mention it very briefly during the first broadcast, and then I find the nearest wastebasket for that paper.
Right. And Richmond, who was upset about that, what were they ranked?
Oh, they're picked to win it. I mean, they've got a super team coming back. So they're up there with St. Joseph's basically 1-2 the top teams in the conference.
Good times. So, folks, it appears that we're going to be ready to start this contest, the second half of the contest anyway.
Thank goodness.
Where Fairmont will be receiving the ball here, and we'll see if they're able to get this running clock going. As they're right now, they're up 21. It's going to be a second before that happens, but some more points on the board certainly will have things going in that direction. The current score is 28-7.
Who's the backup to J.J. Hill?
So that's an excellent question.
I just thought about that. I wouldn't leave him out there after their initial drive.
Egan Keebler is the only other person on the season that's attempted a pass, but he was kind of a receiver, so that might be, but we really do not know. I would expect to see J.J. Hill throughout the game, even if it gets a little outrageous.
Just because he needs more work with the... But are you going to keep the whole first unit out there?
Perhaps not.
I would not think so. I think you'll start seeing some people move in and out, but it just depends on what happens here early on, because if they can get two quick scores to get that clock running, really what we're talking about is a matter of about a drive, because the clock will run, and the way that they run it and burn the clock, you're talking literally about 15 minutes of real time, and so they really won't be enough to throw in another quarterback, is what we've seen in the past. You never know, but I would be shocked if we see a third quarterback.
So the sophomore Gabe Perrys is a quarterback listed. Also,
Pooch Kick.
Yes, and it was Pooch Kick taken by the up back. Man, he's able to get all the way down to around the 45-yard line where he's taken out. And so that is Fairmont with great field position. They're going to say they're going to be starting at the Comet 44-yard line. And as far as the quarterbacks go, also Brett Hilty, a sophomore listed at quarterback, and
the freshman, Reagan Hefner.
Now, there are no more JV games, so it's not like you have to worry about playing somebody tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Correct.
I don't know if that would factor into the decision.
And so Hill gets the Firebirds going at the Comet 44-yard line. One wide receiver split to the right. That is Tony Bruno. It's a handoff to the back. Gets to about the 40-yard line and back into tailback. That is Doty. And he's going to get to the 40-yard line. It's a gain of 4, second and 6.
You don't expect them to really show much of anything. It's going to be very straightforward. They're going to kill clock. They're going to just run it up pretty much the tackles until you get into a third down. Then you'll be looking for the pitches to the outside.
So double wing to the right. That is going to be Thornton and, I believe, Stringer. And it is. One wide receiver split to the right for Hill. Blitz by the Comets. Handoff to, I believe that was Thornton, and it was on the counter, but nothing going this time as they lost 3 yards. Well, they're going to say 2 yards, and that's going to bring them 3rd and 7 for the Firebirds.
We know there, I have to say this, we know there have been a lot of blowouts in week one. Listen to this, halftime score, Taft, Senators, 50, Kenton Ridge, nothing.
41-yard line.
Patton in the game at left wing. Backfield Doty, right wing Stringer. One wide receiver split to the right. That is Dominique Jett. Strong side right, motion to the right. Handoff to Doty, who gets to around, they're going to say the 35-yard line. He's going to be a yard short of the first down. That's going to bring a 4th and 1 and a decision here.
No decision. They'll go.
And so end of the game, I believe that is 98 coming on the field.
Then after this play, I'm going to give you a shocking score. No, not the team 50 to nothing losing now, but you will not believe this score I'm going to give you. It's called a tease, folks.
So power eye, I believe, we're going to see from the Firebirds. And it is Stringer, Slifer, and then Doty, who is the halfback. Hill under center. Hands off to Doty, runs over the right tackle, and he's able to get to the 31-yard line. First down, Firebirds.
Okay, Springfield jumped on Hilliard-Bradley 14-0, and they are now trailing Hilliard-Bradley 28-14 at the half. I mean, that could be a potential matchup in 2 weeks if Springfield comes back and wins.
I wish I would have said something earlier, because when you talked about them playing potentially in 3 weeks, I thought, well, if they both get there, and really Springfield was the team I was more worried about. Hilliard-Bradley is very good. Fairmont played them back a few years ago after they had not made the playoffs in about 9 years, and they got their doors blown off up there. Beautiful stadium, but that's a scary team.
Yes. One wide receiver split to the right. It's a pitch out to, oh, it's a pass. On a cop by, wow, cop by Kieber, and that was a pass by Patton on the halfback pass as he came from the left wing, took the pitch, and then threw it to a wide-open Kieber. And that's another 6 points on the board, 34-7 Firebirds.
That's a little mean.
I don't know if they really needed to do that. You said they're not going to show anything.
I didn't think they needed to do that. But Thornton had attempted one pass earlier on the season that was incomplete, so that was his first completion on the year. it couldn't have been more wide open.
Right. And so, Gehring for yet another extra point attempt here this evening. This will be his 5th of the evening. Holds good. Kick is plenty good. Fairmont 35, Comet 7.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you're in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions,
Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghostlight Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Moe's Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Sinorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Kettering Myers for his support this season as Max Gehring is set to kick this off yet again. I believe this will be the sixth touchback this evening as he puts this one completely out of the end zone. And the Comets going to have another opportunity to get their offense going here from their own 20-yard line.
Looking to see if it's going to be the Fairmont first team defense. It is. That's yes. Coming out right now. I do see Dayglow, Worrell.
Wilkins.
Wilkins is out there. Slifer. So, yep, we still have first team defense out for at least this possession. Maybe the last one they'll see tonight.
All right, as we see Seven Foster. This time he is flanked by a couple halfbacks, three wide receivers, two to the far side of the field, sends one into the pattern, and overthrows it. Might have been reverse pass, and he's able to cover it up there. Intended receiver was Braden Manley. And has he thrown a pass to his left here this evening?
One. It was intercepted. So yes. maybe that's the reason.
So that's going to bring up second and 10 from the 20. Every pass, and we've seen several here from Foster. Every single one, except for one, has been to the right side of the field. Interesting. Clock stopped at 8:52, second and 10. Four wide, two to each side for Foster. The tailback, Watley, standing to his left. Foster takes snap. Muley throws to his right on the out. Oh, goes through the hands of 10 receiver. Almost intercepted there by, I believe that's... Jamar Humphrey. Who was that? Almost intercepted that.
Caleb Moore.
Okay. Yes, he knows he should have had that as it went in and out of Moore's hands. And that's going to bring up third and 10 for the Comets.
You can see the young man keeps putting his hands up to his helmet. He's frustrated. But it wouldn't have been an easy catch because it was deflected. Yes, did get to his hands, but it was hit. So
he was ready to go the other way with it.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
A touchdown if he catches it.
Third and 10, five wide receivers, empty backfield, four to the near side of the field for Foster. Looks to his right again, and he overthrows his receiver as he's only looking to the right. And that brings up fourth and 10, and Central Cross is going to have to punt, folks.
You surprised with that aggressive play call, three passes?
I mean, the real truth of it is every time they've handed it off, there's been somebody right there as well. So they're trying to get something, just anything. We used to call a lot of times for just a screen pass or anything to slow up the defense, but it's just not cutting it. There's no question. And the ball is being thrown off his back foot with a lot of height to it, not with a lot of velocity. Just defense easy to rally.
Logan Wilkins, more pressure on the punt, forces it to the right. As Wilkins had pressure on Jalen Williams, the punter, all evening. That ball goes out of bounds at, the officials are going to say, can't tell.
Midfield?
It's going to be about the 47-yard line or so, 46.
So it's a 26-yard punt with no return.
On that time, at least they didn't waste any time. He kicked it right away instead of trying that Euro rollout because that has not worked. It was almost blocked the first time. Second time was even closer, and it was returned for a touchdown. So that one you could tell they decided to just kick it right away.
Now this could be, if they score a touchdown here, I mean, the whole clock, this might be the quickest game ever.
We thought it might be anyways. And, yeah, if they wouldn't have had that fumble return, it would already be moving.
So we have double wing to the right. Looks like it was a handoff there to Patton. And it was Patton who was able to get down to the 42-yard line. That is going to be a gain of five. And that is, they're going to say four. It's going to bring up second and six.
Even a Max Gehring field goal will put it over the number needed for that running clock. So they don't need to get too much more to get into that territory.
And we're going to watch. It appears. So we have got Patton in the backfield. Thornton left wing, right wing, Stringer. One wide receiver in the set here to the right. Hill. Second and six. Motion near side. Hands it off to Patton's. Pushes upfield. And he's got that thrust going. He's able to get to 35 first down for the Firebirds.
They actually adjusted Brett Fuller left to right, and he's the one who made the blowout block, allowing that first down run.
Doty.
I'm sorry, you're the analyst. I shouldn't be babbling around here.
That's a good addition. No, Fuller does that quite a bit. They move him around quite a bit.
So Doty back in the game at the right wing, string left wing backfield. That's still Patton. We've got one wide receiver split to the far side of the field. Clock moving, 7:25 remaining in the third quarter. 10 seconds on the play clock. Hill gets under center. We've got motion by Doty to left. Pitch out to Doty, and he's going to try to turn up, and he's going to get about 5 yards before he's taken down by Jalen Williams. So Doty did a great job there putting his head down to get those yards, Dennis.
Yeah, because they kind of strung them out towards the sideline, did a good job of pushing Doty out. And, Doty picking up something where you may not get a lot. If he cut back, the inside was wide open. The interior line for Fairmont had a great push, but it was really up the middle.
So Doty lined up the left wing this time as Stringer and Doty switched sides of the field. Stringer right wing, backfield Patton. One wide receiver split to the right. Motion by Doty near side. Hand off to Patton. Runs off the right tackle. Gets to the 24-yard line. And that should be a first down. And, we see extracurricular business in the backfield. Dennis, what was going on back there?
A ridiculous unsportsmanlike conduct penalty is coming against the Comets here. I can't tell. His jersey's kind of pulled up. Number 59.
I think that's Dominguez, the senior.
Yeah, here Dominguez. And that play was about 15 yards away from the action. There were three Fairmont players mixed up with Ymir, and he ended up, after the play was over, from behind, pushed the Fairmont player down. And directly in front of the official. You couldn't have done it more in front of the official if you were trying.
And so he's going to get some time on the sideline to think about that particular play.
It might be an unfortunate way for his career to end since he is a senior.
Yeah, he'll probably get put back out there, but if it was me, I probably would sit him right next to me after that one.
So question, we're going to be at the running clock situation. Is there any time when the clock does not run? So if a team scores, they keep the clock running?
No, it stops there. It stops on scores, stops obviously at the end of the quarter.
Yes.
Injuries can stop it. Outside of that, clock will run.
So the ball is at the 12-yard line after the unsportsmanlike conduct against Central Crossing. Double tight end split to the right. Double wing also to the right with Stringer and Thornton in the backfield. That is, I believe that was Patton. Not much there as he was able to get to 10. That's going to be a gain of 2. Bring up 2nd and 8 for the Firebirds here. 5:54 remaining in the third quarter. 35-7 Fairmont.
Gain of 2 yards. 2nd and 8 Fairmont.
So Fairmont able to center the ball there a bit. 2nd and 8 from the 10-yard line. Needs to get to the 2 for the first down as they come out with 2 wide receivers, 1 split to each side of the field. Stringer right wing, left wing. That is Thornton. Backfield is Patton. Fairmont content to let all this time go off the clock here. It's a pitch out to Stringer, who's left wing, goes in for the touchdown. And we've seen Stringer run more tonight than he has all season. Stringer in the end zone for the touchdown. The score is Fairmont 41, Fairmont 7. Fairmont 41, Central Crossing 7.
Yeah, and good for Stringer. He's a junior, 6 foot 195. That's his first rushing touchdown on the season. Hasn't had a ton of work throughout the year, but really has been a bigger factor in receiving. He's their leading receiver, has 7 receptions for 84 yards, and his catches come at the most important times, it seems.
So have.
Nice to reward the young man there.
So 41-7, extra point here by Gehring. Perfect on the night. And this one is up, and also good. Fairmont 42, Central Crossing 7.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you are in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnicast Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghostlight Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Sinorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Kettering Buyers for your sponsorship this evening. Fairmont, another touchdown on the board. Fairmont 42, Central Crossing 7. As we have Gehring set for yet another kickoff, and that one's going to the end zone as well. Central Crossing can start their 20-yard line for the umpteenth time this evening. So with that, this clock should be running continuously here as Fairmont is up 35 points in this game.
That reminds me of the old joke. How do you stop the elephant from charging? Take away its credit card.
That's funny. And the second team defense, I believe, is on the field.
As it should be.
For Fairmont.
They got a few of their guys out there. Deglo's still out there. Worrell. So the secondary, I don't see Slifer.
Yeah, that defensive line.
Right. New linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. Is that Gavin Proffitt still out there?
So we've got empty backfield. Whoa. Yes, empty backfield. And it's a throw out there to number 88 on the wide receiver screen there. That was Nate Thompson, who we've seen involved in offense multiple times this evening. I think that was a loss of one.
Ryan Baker is out there. He's a senior. Is that related to Brock?
Not sure.
I don't know. I just know Brock is not related to Cordell Baker, who scored the touchdown.
So we see massive second down switch in players there.
Garrett Worrell's in. Chase Ford's in. Now they just brought in Demetrius Wynn, a 5'7 sophomore.
So Foster in the gun, takes a snap for wide receivers, throws to his right again, overthrew his intended receiver. And that's going to bring up third and 10 from the 20.
Number three.
So, Central Crossing, they're going to work on that out, that out to the right. You're going to try to get that completed here before the end of the game.
20-yard line.
If at first you don't succeed.
See, try again.
Jennifer Wilson.
Davian Porter, there's a name we haven't mentioned, a sophomore. He's in on defense, number 37.
Yeah, they've got a few of their players kind of rotating in, but then they're moving a lot of players around because Slifer just checked back in, so he's sitting there in the middle right now. But
Tyson Hammond's in.
So, handoff to the tailback. He has some room, and he might pick up the first down. And he's going to be very close. He's going to get to the 29-yard line. Need to get to the 30. And so they're going to say it's going to be 1 yard here short. It's going to be a fourth and one.
You know they're going to go.
Should go for it.
Now Logan Wilkins coming into the game. I don't know if I agree with that. I think he's important enough that he'd be sitting over there next to me at this point. You obviously see the difference between not having Baker in the game.
So they're going to go quick to the line, and they're going to try to go for it, and they're going to not get it. As they're going
to
get a quarterback keeper, may get it.
I think they're going to give it to
him. It's going
to
be close. I think so. So great job there.
Oh, flag.
And that is a flag that time.
They're probably going to call that assist. You know, so like the tush push. You're not allowed to do that in high school. You're not allowed to push and give them assistance. Fairmont actually got called for that a few weeks ago.
They're
going to
say it's against Fairmont for whatever reason.
They're going to wind up outlawing that in the NFL at some point.
I think they should. Personal foul against.
Personal foul
against Central Crossing. Whoa. Personal fouls. They're going to take that back. And that is going to be, fourth and 16.
Ugh.
Now they'll have to punt.
Yeah, I do believe so.
And by the way, the clock rolls. We're down at 1:10.
And that clock is rolling.
And if you're listening and you get a snack in the fourth quarter, make it quick. Fourth quarter might take 12 minutes.
So they put the ball back to the 15-yard line. Central Crossing appears to be going for it. Why not? four wide, three the far side of the field for Foster.
Oh, it's first down. So it was after the they got the first down.
So
they're not completely nuts.
They hand it off to Watley. Gets to about the 12. That's going to be a loss of, or excuse me, that's 13. Loss of a couple yards there. And that's going to bring up second and 12 for the Comets. 24 seconds remaining here in the half. I'm not sure if Sims Crossing is going to get another playoff this quarter.
Doesn't seem like they're in any hurry, too. Mm-hmm. I do not think they will.
It doesn't appear so.
Well, they're breaking.
We'll see if they're able to get it off here with 8 seconds remaining. They get into the line very quickly. They still got people running off the field.
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope.
And so with that, folks, that is going to be the end of the quarter. The score is Fairmont 42, Central Crossing 7.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you're in one of these businesses, be sure to thank them for supporting the Fairmont Firebirds on the air. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Area Hothead Burritos, Dayton Art Solutions, Dominica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Ghost Light Coffee, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Pub, MVP Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotover Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And folks, we are back here at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Let me give you a quick update. Springfield has scored first in the second half. They trailed Hilliard-Bradley.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses.
Goodbye. They're trailing 28-21.
Oh, and we've got a pass by Central Crossing. Great pitch. Great catch there under duress by, well, we'll see. And they're going to say Shamar Humphreys on the catch as he was able to heave that all the way to the 40-yard line. First time we've seen him go downfield with the pass, and he actually went to the left-hand side of the field also.
I have a question for you experts. Two personal fouls against Central Crossing. Does it make you wonder about the discipline on the team or not?
Well, look at the score. I think they're just frustrated and they're taking it out the wrong way.
Yeah, it's tough to keep high school kids kind of toeing the line. You're 1-9. You have not really scored in the last 7 weeks, and then you're getting your doors blown off.
Foster, a handoff to the tailback Watley, who runs off the left tackle, breaks a few tackles, and he's going to have a first down and more as he's going to get to the Fairmont 37-yard line before he's forced out.
So if we're looking for something nice to say about Central Crossing, they have 6 plays on this drive. They have consumed 6 minutes off the clock, and they have 3 first downs.
So the ball at the 37-yard line, first down Central Crossing. The ball is on the far hash mark. They come out of the huddle, 4 wide, 2 to each side of the field. In the backfield, saying next to Foster is Watley, the tailback. Foster takes snap, throws it to his left. Goes through the hands of his intended receiver. That was number 12. Joshua Fleshman was not able to handle that. 2nd and 10, Central Crossing.
I feel like they lulled the left side of the Fairmont defense to sleep. These last couple throws going to the left have been wide open. I think Coach Miller's had a little bit of enough of it. They've been starting to put a couple of their players back in. I saw Slifer come back out. I don't think he really likes the big chunk yardage plays.
So ball marked at the 37-yard line, 2nd and 10, Central Crossing. Foster is in the gun for a wide. Takes a snap, hands it off to Watley, runs to his right, eludes a tackle, still on his feet, gets down to about the 26 before he's hit and taken down by, amongst others, number 48, Demetrius Wynn.
But that's going to be another first down for Central Crossing.
You know, it's interesting. You can see definitely all these substitutions for Fairmont. What is Central Crossing doing now? They are blowing the Fairmont defensive line off the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it just has to do with being bigger and stronger at this point.
It is kind of funny when you think about it, because you have that first team defense out there bullying Central Crossing. Now they basically have their JV defense out there. They're bullying them. You kind of just see the hierarchy of how it kind of plays out.
And so the ball at the 23-yard line, first and 10, Central Crossing, 9 minutes remaining in the contest. Foster takes snap, but there is a penalty or flag thrown before the start of that play. And we'll see. I think it's a timeout.
Timeout.
Timeout Central Crossing.
Okay, so the clock does stop.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's one of the few things that does work. You can still call timeouts to stop
timeout.
It.
Timeout.
Injuries, like it's a change of possessions.
Well, gentlemen, as we reflect, the season's about to come to an end. I mean, I wasn't allowed here to do broadcasts during the regular season.
Stay out. So you're on the road.
But, I mean, you guys have to be really excited about what you've seen this season. The best Fairmont team you've seen, I imagine, in all your years, correct?
Certainly one of them, for sure. Early Fairmont in my career was also, they had a good team or two then. But this is a good team, best team.
Much more balanced.
Yes, in a very, very, very long time.
So I wasn't here at the beginning, kind of what Aaron was talking about, but since I joined in 2015, so I've been doing it for 10 years, yes, this is their best team. Coach Miller said in his halftime interview with Norm that he thought so. He was like, well, how can I not say that? This is the first team that's won the GWOC, and he really talked about how everything built towards this, the blocks that were kind of in place that kind of led them to this success. And it's fun to watch.
Central Crossing looks to throw, and it is going to the end zone. And that looked like it was throwing it away from everyone, even though number three was in the vicinity, Shamar Humphreys. And that's going to bring up second and 10 for Central Crossing.
Colby Wallace, the name you haven't mentioned much, the sophomore. He is in on defense, trying to call out as many people as I can. Michael Newsom. A sophomore, 5'10", 205, is in as a defensive lineman.
So Central Crossing comes to the line once again, four wide. So tailback Watley standing to the right of Foster. Takes snap. No, this time it is Jalen Williams in a tailback. And he is breaking tackle, stiff-arming people, and he's going to go into the end zone.
Hold.
And they're going to call a hold, apparently, here on that rush by Williams. So that's going to be coming back here, most likely.
Which is kind of a shame, because that was a great effort for Jalen Williams. He broke many tackles.
Absolutely, Barney. Took the words right out of my mouth. And actually, I think the hold was after the first down.
Yeah, it just negates the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how they kind of play this.
And so they're going to take that back, folks, here. To the 21-yard line of Fairmont.
Keep in mind, if they score here a touchdown, we get the clock stopping. But it's running now at 7:20.
So they're going to give them a gain of apparently two on that after the penalty. And so it's going to be second and 8 from the 23. Clock is running, 7:11, folks.
Yeah, go to your convenience store.
So we get three wide receivers to the near side, one to the far side for Foster. Williams in it, tailback staying to his left. High snap to Foster, who's rushing it. He's to the 20, and he's going to go down. He takes a hit from behind at the 20. Oh, that was something else. Hard hit there by...
Oh, how do you pronounce Noah's last name? Oleg Schlager?
Yeah, Olga Schlager. Sounds like Olga Schlager.
5'11", 172.
We've got something to talk about this evening.
Yes.
As Foster was looking to go down, and as he was thinking about it,
he needed to give himself up a little sooner.
Yes, he did.
You learn, he's a sophomore, that if you're running and you slow down, there is probably someone coming behind you, and that's what happened there. That was a dream there for Oleg Schlager.
Third and 7 for Central Crossing. Need to get to the 13-yard line for the first down. Foster takes snap, hands it off to the tailback. Oh, and he is not going to get there as he is drugged down by Jack Probasco. And so they're going to mark the ball at the 18-yard line, 4th and 5.
And this has been a 12 play drive. They've taken 11 minutes off the clock. Not exactly the way the Firebirds did it at Springfield 2 weeks ago, though.
Yeah, running clock helps, but yes.
And so Central Crossing going for it here, which makes perfect sense. Back in the game, Anthony Watley, a tailback. Three wide receiver split to the far side. Foster looks to throw, and there's a stoppage of play here. Timeout Central Crossing. And that is their second timeout of the evening. One left for the Comets.
Central Crossing.
Dennis is able to get on the Wayne side. Do you have any updates?
I've been trying, and I have not gotten an update, so I don't think anything's happened. I think we're still sitting at 20-11.
Where are they playing that game?
That game is at Wayne.
Yeah, that's where we should be right now.
They're or Springfield. Or if they're, I don't know if they're in Hilliard or if they're in Springfield.
I think they're in. Oh, that's a great question.
Centerville 42, Beaver Creek nothing. Fourth quarter, clock running.
And quarter number three is Middletown 20.
Lebanon about to end Northmount's season. Third quarter, they're up 28-14.
I heard the PA.
I heard the
20 PA. To 11.
Still 20 to 11.
Now, I don't know about the extra point, but Springfield has cut the deficit against Hilliard-Bradley to 28-27. Maybe with the conversion attempt pending.
Hmm. So 5:13 remaining in this contest. Central Crossing trying to end the running clock here. Get some points on the board as they come out four wide receivers. Three split to the far side of the field. As we said, Watley is back in the game. Split to the right of Foster. Foster takes a snap. Looks to his right. He's got nothing. Runs. Runs to his right. And goes out of bounds at 15. He could have the first down. But he was short. As if he would have turned up field, Foster would have. I believe he could have got the first down. But he did not. And so Central Crossing turns over the ball on downs.
He was more concerned with getting out of bounds, which I don't think he understood the situation.
I do believe he was more concerned with getting hit.
Yes, getting out of bounds.
He had just he had just gotten blasted a couple plays before, and if you don't think that sat with him, because what other suggestion would you have on fourth down for going out of bounds there?
It looks like coach, one of the coaches, is giving him the business, saying, "Hey, you got to turn up and get those that yards, my son."
So new quarterback.
And so we do.
Number 19. I said, who's the quarterback? Brett Hilty, the 5'8 sophomore.
And Hilty is also the holder, but now he's in at quarterback.
Weighs 165.
Hilty under center. Hands it off to, I believe, Thornton. Nope, that's not Thornton, was it? And we'll see. We've got a slew of new players here with 3:48 remaining here in the contest, and we'll get their names.
Is it Dominic Lewis?
That's correct.
5'8", 175-pound sophomore.
Second and four.
Oh, thank you for that information. The whole team. A timeout.
It is timeout.
No, why? Why are we calling timeouts here?
Called by Central Crossing, their final timeout here of the game.
What defensive strategy they can have. So, again, to recap, the Firebirds will be back home next week. It will be their last home appearance because if they win next week, they go to neutral sites. But they will be hosting the winner of the Middletown Wayne game, which at this point is 20-11 Middletown in the third quarter. And Aaron is pointing to something on his depth chart. Oh, I thought you were pointing to something on your depth chart. 3:36 to go. It was 14-0. Now, Fairmont has 14 points in the first, second, third. I don't think they're going to hit 14 points in the fourth.
No, another couple plays here will just end it. If they get a first down, there's no timeouts left, and obviously the clock will be running. One first down will take care of this, and you're already looking at a second and four. So if they can pick up 4 yards in the next play or two, it'll take care of it.
Bet Brad Hilty would like a chance to run the ball
instead
of just hand off.
I keep it myself. What are they going to do, take you out?
Yeah.
21-yard line.
Even though I wouldn't tempt Miller. You may never play again.
All right, so Hilty gets under center. One wide receiver to set motion to the near side. Hands off to the tailback. Big hole there as he's able to get to the 34-yard line.
Yeah, that was Lewis again.
And it was Lewis on the rush. Clock moving, 3:23 remaining.
You notice their offensive line just blew out their defense there.
From their own.
Yeah, that's
even with substitutes.
I'll just say that's effort. That is pure effort at this point. Central Crossing has already pictured themselves on the bus, ready to go.
Yeah, and for a long drive back.
And for these Fairmont players, this is a kind of achievement unlocked, right? A lot of these players are freshmen, sophomores, and getting to play on the big field, play in a playoff game. So these are good things.
So motion to the far side by Fairmont. Hand off to Lewis once again as he's spinning and moving. He's looking excellent here as he gets all the way down to the 44-yard line of Fairmont. Another first down, 2:38 remaining. This contest is almost over, folks.
Stay with us after the game. We'll have closing comments. I don't know what they'll be at this point. And I will give a whole recap of this game if you tuned in late.
What quarter is the Wayne game in?
Third.
Okay.
Their games always take a long time because they pass the ball the time.
Fairmont back to the line here, first and 10 from the 45-yard line. Hilty puts a man in motion to the far side of the field. Hand off to Lewis again, right tackle. He's trying to get the pay dirt here as he gets all the way down to Central Crossing, 41-yard line. Another first down.
Has he carried the ball this year before tonight?
He has.
5 carries for 23 yards at a long of 11.
He's well past that.
First down at 10, Fairmont from the Thomas 41-yard line.
Fairmont looking to put this game away here with another 3-4 plays, another 3 or so.
Are they going to go for points?
No.
Let it go.
I mean, you want to try to stop them. No, they're going to hand it off to Lewis and make the other team stop them. You're just not going to fall down.
They may take a knee. It wouldn't surprise them. I'm surprised they're not.
No, I think, running this.
I think you run a play.
As Hilty.
It's not rubbing it in.
Hands it off to Lewis, and he gets hits the hole right. Left tackle, down to the 30. 1:14 remaining here. Another couple plays. This game is over, folks.
Unless Lewis runs it in.
Gain of 9 yards, second down and 1.
Fairmont appears to be getting back to the lines. They brought that play in.
They're going to either make a touchdown or get it close enough for a field goal.
They're not going to kick a field goal.
They will not score a touchdown.
No, that's rubbing in it. That's insulting.
Puts man in motion, hands it off to Lewis once again. Goes off the right guard, down to the 25-yard line.
First down.
40 seconds, and they
got to run a play.
They do have to run one more play.
And this is going to be victory formation, folks.
Yeah.
So looked like there was a bit of a scrum for a hot second, but I suspect this will be victory formation.
I like Norm's idea.
If Norm was running the team, he'd kick a field goal here. And that would actually cause a riot.
Hey, we're just trying to make sure Gehring's okay.
He's had a lot of practice on kickoffs.
This is not victory formation. Motion to the far side. Hand off once again to Lewis, who gets down to the 15-yard line. And that should be the final play. And it is. Fairmont victorious, 42-7 over the Central Crossing Comets.
Keep it here for a minute.
Okay, so we're going to have our post-game show, and Norm gives me the word. We'll recap the entire game, and we'll bid you adieu, and we will root for the Firebirds next week. We'll be back.
Our final score from Rouse Stadium.
Exciting and home improvement post game. We want to thank Scott Bauer and all our underwriters for helping us bring this game to you. Now back to the stadium for the wrap up of today's game.
And folks, we are back here at Rouse Stadium. The final, Fairmont 42, Central Crossing Comets 7. Barney, what do you got?
Oh boy. Okay. Well, at least I don't have really much to talk about in the second half. So, it started out poorly for the Comets. They were intercepted by Slifer. Doty takes it in from 3 yards out, 7-0 at the 7:20 mark. They go 6 place, 26 yards. They take 3:51 off the clock. Patton runs it in from 1 yard out to make it 14-0 at the 1:52 mark of the first quarter. They take 3:57 off the clock. They go 62 yards and 7 plays. And then the one Central Crossing highlight of the night, it was a Doty fumble. Cordell Baker returns at 88 yards at the 6:18, check it, at the 8:16 mark. and the extra point is good. It's 14-7, but the Firebirds put any drama out immediately. They make it 21-7, Patton an 8-yard TD run at the 3:59 mark of the first half. They go 7 plays, and they take 4 minutes 15 seconds off the clock. There was a impressive Stringer 25-yard run as well. Then they add another touchdown on special teams to end the first half. Slifer, a 55-yard punt return TD at the 1:18 mark of the first half. At the half, it's 28-7. They have 2 third-quarter touchdowns. The first one makes it 35-7, and it's a gadget play. It's pitched back to Patton. To Kieber, 31-yard on the halfback option, if you want to call it that. They go 5 plays, 44 yards. They take 2:58 off the clock. It's 35-7. And then Stringer, a 10-yard TD run, makes it 42-7. They take 3:22 off the clock. They go 6 plays and 46 yards. And the Firebirds are 9-2, and the Comets end 1-10. Gentlemen, enjoyed it. Dennis will be with me on Tuesday night for UD Women's Basketball. I'll let you two finish it off.
Well, I did want to say just for Fairmont next week, because it's kind of back to reality next week. You got to get back to this week in practice is going to be very important for this Firebird team because they have not had to play well in a few weeks. And it can be very challenging when whoever they're going to play next week is in a very competitive game right now. As Norm turns me down again, I can shut up if you like. But really, in that, we don't know if we're going to see Brock Baker or not. It's been wonderful for his injury that he's had time to sit. So we'll see what that looks like next week. But like I said, this week in practice is going to be of the utmost importance. And for Fairmont, they have not had to punt since going back. They did not punt this week. They did not punt last week. So the offense is really moving, and that's wonderful, but it's going to be a completely different situation next week. And sometimes it's hard to flip that switch back on, Aaron. So I'm concerned, but this Fairmont team has shown from week one against Alter resiliency, pure determination, just unbelievably coached. So do I expect them to come out and be very sharp next week? I do. But those are the concerns, and I hope they have a very good week in practice. It's a shame we can't do that game. But
here's an update. Middletown 20, Wayne 18 now in the third quarter. Wayne had no reason to go for 2, and they did not. And apparently, Springfield flubbed the extra point, so they still trail Hilliard-Bradley 28-27. Gentlemen, Lebanon's beating Northmont 35-21.
Okay. Well, folks, I don't feel like I need to add anything to that. We've had a great season here in Information Radio 1660. Make sure you tune in for the UD Women's Basketball with Barney and Dennis next week. And, folks, Fairmont will be playing someone, either Miamisburg or Wayne, next weekend. So you want to be here for that ball game. So for myself, Dennis, Norm, and Barney, thank you for listening to us this year on Information Radio 1660.
You have been listening to the Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement Post-Game Report.
You've been listening to Fairmont Firebirds football on Information Radio 1660. Our thanks to Butler Heating and Air Conditioning for helping us to bring this game to you today. You can listen to this game or any other game from this season by going to our website at radio1660.com. Thanks for listening.